Can you hear the music? Oh, fuck yeah. Stick at me right fucking in. Doesn't that right get? Doesn't that just fire you right up? You know, your bones, buddy. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Ascension Boychuk for that incredible intro music. You know, find that guy everywhere on the socials. He's an incredible dude, man. He's trying his hardest out there, you know, and I don't think he really cares too much about followers. Like, he's just shredding, and he don't care. If you're watching, you're watching. If you're not, you're not. You know, it's for him, not anyone else. And that's, I love that about him, man. And, you know, so shout out to that guy. Find him everywhere. But today, on today's episode, we have a very special guest from Rock Steady Tile Co., the man, the myth, the legend, Kip Bender. And I don't know if that fucking name, is that your real name?
Yep.
Your parents must have been huge Futurama fans, right? Like,
now Kip is actually, if I'm remembering correctly, my great great grandmother's maiden name.
That's badass. All right. So we can't make fun of that too much. You know what? It's a cool
you do what
name.
You want.
It's badass. It's a badass name, and that's all we know is it's badass. Yeah. What's going on?
Right on, dude. Oh, nothing, man. We're wrapping up the day here at Bender headquarters, man. So we just ate dinner and we're chilling out.
Bender HQ, man. I love that, dude. I'm currently, you know, this iteration of Frosty headquarters or Frosty Studios, if you want to call it. You know, I'm in a different hotel. I'm in a different town. You know, I'm just rocking out. Actually, this room has this really comfy chair that, you know,
it looks like a nice recliner.
It's not a recliner, you know, but like it is something that, you know, my legs could be crossed and I could have a cigar in my hand, you know, and just sit around and you know, what do you say, Jethro? What do you say, Watson?
Yeah. You know, stuff you like could have that, wise you know? Conversation.
Yeah, we could have, oh, shit. And you have it with you. We don't have it here in Canada yet. Sit around drinking 5-9 whiskey. Nothing but the best.
We may have some on site.
We have some on site. Look at that, man. That's incredible, buddy. Look at that.
It is a tasty whiskey.
Whiskey. I love that. Dude, your voice mixed with like the, you're not rocking the beard right now. As you said, it's summer, but your voice mixed with like, you know, the slickness of that beard, it almost looks painted on, right? And
it could be. You never know.
The mustache now, right? Like your voice mixed with all that is just like, man, if I was into dudes, you'd be the one for me.
Well, I'm flattered.
You should be.
I'm going right now. So my summertime look, I'm going for the Earnhardt. So, you know, early 80s Earnhardt. We're going to get there, man. We're going to get that mustache out there a little further.
Early 80s Earnhardt, not like early 2000s Earnhardt, not like I just
yeah, those were the dark days.
We won't go there. I was going to say like, we talking about like the Wall Earnhardt, or are we talking, you know, but like, yeah,
same fella, different era, you know.
Shit, that's dark. Mm-hmm. Shit, man. So, buddy, how you dude? What's going on? What's new with you, man? Like, I love your content, bro. It's, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Blue collar podcast. You're a blue collar guy. The way you edit your content, dude, like I love watching, you know, your different, you know, jump shots and or jump cuts, and you never know what kind of like twists and turns and whatever or not's gonna come in your videos, dude. I like the production you got going on.
I appreciate that, man. It's a hobby turned serious is really all it is, you know. That's how I got started in the social media stuff, is I would make these silly, stupid videos and send them my one or two friends. And eventually somebody talked me into putting it on social media, and then it just took off from there. And because I'm a data freak and kind of a science nerd. I just take things too far most of the time, and I obsess over it. So I'm getting some decent growth, and we're got some good opportunities on the horizon.
Nice, buddy. I love that, man. I noticed that you got a lot of brand names like tools and stuff like that. They mm-hmm. they fuck with you, right? And that's huge, man. You know, they come to you. You do giveaways. I love that little fridge you had, man. And you know, they do giveaways and whatnot with your stuff. And man, like you're making things happen, man.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, for me, it's all about providing value without expecting return. And that's what I do in pretty much everything in my life. And then shit just comes to you when you act like that, you know?
Hell yeah. I like that. Providing value without expecting anything in return. Hell yeah, man. Yep. You know, a lot more people should be like that. Like, you know, I do this, you know, just for shits and giggles, you know, like I want to laugh. Right. And I originally started making the content, you know, I needed to laugh. I was in a deep, dark space. And yep. I needed to laugh. And I wanted to see content that I just wasn't seeing. Like, I was seeing some of it, but I wanted to make content that, you know, that when I look at, I could get a belly laugh. And I'm like, oh,
right.
Oh, you know, yeah. And shit like that. And so I created it and I made myself laugh. And, you know, at the beginning, it was, you know, like if I could make myself laugh today, that's fuck it. That's day successful, right? And then, you know, turn into like, well, other people are laughing along with me now, or whether they're laughing at me, I don't know. But either way, they're there.
Who cares?
Who cares, man? It's been an amazing ride so far, dude. And you know, I think we're just getting started. All of us, you know, we talk about this a lot lately. Is, you know, we're at the tip of the spear when it comes to blue collar content, right? We're at the tip of the spear. We're heading the charge. When they talk about this shit in the history books, our names will be mentioned as pioneers.
There's no doubt. There's a huge gap, man. Because this is all relatively new, right? We're essentially the pioneers of the craft. You know, we're the old guys that are doing it for the younger guys, and those younger guys are going to take it to the next level. They always do. I mean, we did it with our predecessors. We always top them in sort of creativity and action and things like that. So, you know, I think that next generation is going to come through, take what we've developed and just blow it up, which is great to hear, right?
Yep. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to hear, man. You know, like I want, you know, I don't know. Do you watch hockey at all?
No, I'm not really a sports guy.
All right. So.
But I understand it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky holds like all the records. Wayne Gretzky is the great one. He's the one that's done it all, right? Alexander Ovechkin, if it wasn't for two lockouts and a COVID-shortened season, he would have already beat him. But, like, you know, he's like 40-some-odd goals behind Gretzky right now, and if he has a good season, he can do it. He might need two at the way he's getting old now, right? So, you know, Wayne Gretzky walked so Ovechkin could run, you know? And that's what we're doing, man. You know, we're walking. So our predecessor, or not our we're the president, but we're walking so the new guys that come eventually can run, right? And, the technology we have is far and beyond better than what, you know, anything in the past. But the technology they're going to have, man, it's going to, you know, it's going to be amazing.
So, it's going to be stupid. It really will. I mean, you know, so it's funny because, you know, like through our innovations and stuff, we talk to the old timers and the old heads on the job sites, and they're like, "Oh, it's bullshit. You know, nobody needs that shit." We might be doing the same exact thing to that next generation, and we just don't see it, right? We don't know. It could happen. Yeah. I doubt it will for me because I'm pretty open-minded with that kind of stuff, but I don't know what I'm going to be like when I'm 50 either. So I might be an old codger, you know, and be like, "I don't need that bullshit. I was making videos, you know."
Yeah.
And you guys are in this 3D world. What's that?
How old are you?
I'm 38.
38. You're only 3 years older than me, man. We're right there. We're right there, you know? And yeah, man, like, you know, I'm using a giant ass ring light here to make my face look good, right? You know, and this microphone, and technology's already changed since I've gotten this stuff, you know, like. Now you can get every little ring lights to sit on top of your phone, just a little tiny one like this big, you know, and it does the same job. I don't need to pack this thing around with me. I do because I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just the way it is, man.
Yeah, it's just the way it is, man. It's going to be really fascinating to see where we can take this, how much further we can take this, and then where, you know, when it's time to pass the torch on, you know, where they take it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's definitely one of those things.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. So, man, you're a Tyler. You're mm-hmm. a Tyler from, what'd you say, Arkansas, Kentucky? Kentucky. You're from Kentucky.
Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
You're a Tyler from Kentucky.
Yeah, well, that's my online branding is Tyler because that's what I specialize in. But I'm a bathroom remodeling contractor is what I am.
So you make, like, on the throne, the place where the throne is, you make mm-hmm. time in the you make time on the throne look pretty, you know, like you're sitting there, you know, yeah, where this podcast, you know, the origination of the name of the podcast came from. I was sitting on the shitter, right? I was sitting there, I was on the throne doing my thing, looking at the pretty tiles, and it was someone like you, you know, that was doing it.
Yeah, we make some of the finest shitters in the Tri-County area.
Fuck yeah, I love that, man. Too bad you can't tile like porta potties. You know, that'd be even better sitting on site, just sitting there looking at the pretty porta potties. Man, these things have come a long way.
That's why we just draw on the walls, dude. I mean, you got to have something to look at.
Porta potty art, man. Damn. You know, we were talking about mm-hmm. that with Murph last month. We were talking about it with Murph, man. Like, you know, porta potty art, dude, is some of the best shit you could ever see sometimes, you know? Well,
it's something, man. It take you back to high school pretty quick.
Yeah, man. So, like, when did you start making the content? And, like, you know, for you know, the porta potty stuff, when did you, like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm doing this thing. I'm making bathrooms look pretty. You know what? Fuck it. You know, you said, you know, like, you kind of got into that, but, like, what made you decide, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show my work? Instead of just, like, goofing off doing something else, you decide to show your work. Why? Like, you
know? As far as, like, content strategy, as far as what I was going to put out there, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I'll give you kind of a brief history of this, whatever this is that I'm doing. I've been studying social media for years. I really dislike social media at a theoretical basis, right? I don't like what it's done to society. I think the theory is great. I think the application has been horrid, and it causes a lot of damage. However, also understand that I've studied commerce and economy for a lot of years, and, you know, e-commerce is now the top driver for revenue and businesses. So you got a love-hate relationship with it. So I've studied it because of, well, just genuine interest, having grown up an analog kid and watched the digital world kick off and then become what it is today. I'm just a student of that ecosphere, right? So ever since the original MySpace, I was there. Ever since everything, you know, YouTube's IPO, they're all that stuff I've been there for. And I'm always trying to stay in tune with it because there's always business opportunities. And I've been a hustler since day one, right? So I studied social media and the mechanics of it and the theory of it and the different strategies. And, you know, because if you get on social media and you're going to be a content creator, you need to be there with purpose, right? You know, and this is my internal dialogue here, not saying that's what you need to do, but you know, the people that are scrolling social media are there without purpose. Like, they have zero purpose. And that's why they're such easy targets to sell to, is because they don't have any purpose. And what social media has become is a marketing machine, right? It is the ultimate dragon of marketing. And the reason it works is because you're scrolling without purpose and you're easily influenced on social media. That's what it is. So I needed to make a decision whenever I was going to engage and actually create content that it needed to have some level of purpose, because I didn't want to be another mindless person putting out content. I needed a strategy. I needed a purpose for me to even spend my time on it, right? Because I knew if I was just going to start creating content, that takes away from my time. My time is the most valuable thing I have. I have a family. I have businesses, you know, things like that. So if I'm going to create content, it has to absolutely have purpose. And, you know, that's where the content strategy came in. Okay, so you break that down. You go, okay, well, what's my purpose? who am I? What do I like to do? I like to provide. I like to give knowledge. I like to do this. I like to teach people. I'm a firm believer in teaching helps you learn even further. And so I knew that whenever I started making content, I wanted to teach. Okay. The hang up for that is most teachers are boring as fuck, right? they are boring, and it's hard to make something interesting to everybody. So the other sort of leg of what the strategy is you have to be able to entertain, right? And how do you entertain? It's either going to be comedic relief, it's going to be sexual of nature, it's going to be all these ways to entertain people. And my entertainment factor is in the how can we be creative to a point that it's like outside of the box, right? Like you don't see this sorts of edits every day, right? So I was thinking, okay, how can I continue to improve my editing skills? Because it's always been a hobby to me. So I like to learn it and do cool stuff. How can I take it to that next level? So what you do is, and I'll tell you how to do it, find the creators that you admire, emulate their style to learn their techniques, and then you use that, what you've learned, to create your own style, right? So you can take those edits and you can say, okay, so you can start breaking down people's content into what kind of transitions are they commonly using? How are they doing their transitions? Are the transitions hitting on beat with music? Is it more voiceover? Like, is it comedic? And then you break that down into, okay, well, I think what I would like to do is X, and then you start using those skills to do that, right?
Yeah.
So that led into the strategy of, okay, I want to teach people and I want to entertain them, okay? And through that, you'll gain a loyal follower base because your intentions are to help people, right? And you're going to get hate throughout the process, but you just, you know, hey, pop off on them once or twice, get rid of it. Who cares, right? It's the internet. Don't take it serious. Yep. Don't have emotion tied to it. Don't have ego tied to your content. Just, it's science, baby. Just put it out there, alter it, test it, change it, you know, do this so that you can figure out the algorithm to it. Because like I said, social media is a engineered marketing machine, which means it's no surprise that things happen the way they happen. There is a system, there is a process, and that means that system can be figured out. And so that's what I was trying to do in this content strategy was figure out what works. And so that's an entire conversation in itself.
Hell yeah, man. We've had that conversation in the troll group, right? We're all like always talking to each other about what we noticed, right? We're always like, hey, I noticed that I did this at a certain time and I posted this at a certain time. And, you know, like, I tried, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I tried posting outside my normal time and it was like, well, that flopped, right? And I say it all the time, man, social media is all about, you know, how many times are you willing to get kicked in the face and keep coming back with a smile on your face, right? It is disheartening sometimes. And sometimes, but when you're riding that high, man, you know, it's like, yeah, this is amazing, but it doesn't last forever, right? You cannot... No one's going to like ride that high forever, right? And you will come crashing down. You ride the waves. You enjoy the waves when they come. You enjoy the lulls when they come because those waves can be fucking exhausting, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing that I've learned, Dick, is that – sorry, let me turn this phone off, man. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned is even in the upside of the waves, don't pay attention to it. Don't pay attention to it because if you do, your serotonin is engaged. It makes you feel good. It's an addictive thing. And if you're that guy, you're going to ride that, right? And then you're going to hate it when it comes back down.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You'll probably leave the internet. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I had a guy on my podcast. He's got his own podcast named Gord and he has a second act. We talk about him all the time. And I had him live here on the podcast, geez, last year, sometime when we first started around the first top 10 episodes, you know, and we went live and we only had 5 people in the live watching, right? And I'm like, man, you know, I want to do a live event. Sorry, there's not much. He's like, are you kidding me, man? If 5 people were standing in front of us watching this right now as we were doing it, like in front of us physically seeing them, we'd be overwhelmed, right? He's like, 5 people, small number, but fuck. That's a lot of people. Now you go ahead and you throw, you know, a couple hundred thousand, some of those videos get to. You had a couple hundred thousand people in front of you, you wouldn't know what to do. You'd freeze, right?
No, man.
And that's how it goes.
That's why you don't look at stats.
Yeah. And I got a video that I posted three times on the internet before it popped off really good, right? I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It's really, really cold right now. So this video kind of, you know, it's relative. It's really, really cold. You know, and I just threw it up at the right time. 12.5 million views. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And dude, that's insane. Who would have thought? Like, yeah, well, this video that got, you know, 50 or 60,000 views the first time, and maybe 100,000 views the second time. On that third time, man, I was not ready for that ride, right? And it would climb a million a day for a while, right? And it was like, wow, man, this is crazy, right? And you know, you go in, you read the comments, you answer back to keep that engagement going, right? But you never, you just know. Okay, you can start telling when it starts tapering off. All right. You know, during that time, it was the perfect time to put out another banger, right? Because people are seeing that video and they're coming to your profile. Put out another banger. Ride the momentum, right? And or if it's too much for you, now's a good time to just like, hey, I'm going to sit back for a little bit, let this one die off, and then post another one afterwards, right? And
yeah.
I love the science behind the algorithms, man. Like, they change so quick, right? And
right.
You know, it's fun. It's fun trying to keep up, and it's fun. You know, it is a lot of fun.
Well, for me, everything in it, although scientific, is also theoretical, right? And it's all relative. So it's going to be relative to your experience. It's going to be relative to your region, your account, because everything is so tight when it comes to regions. In general with the algorithm, right? So like you're Canadian, there's going to be aspects there. You're in this region, there's going to be aspects to that. So I may issue a complete scientific dissertation on exactly how to increase performance or even create a viral reel, say, but it may not work for you, right? It just may not work for you. And I can have it proven scientifically, right? I'm working right now on putting together a video on analyzing one of my viral videos. And then I recreated it and it worked, right? It went viral again. So I had one go to 80 million views, and then I recreated it, and then it went to 36 million views. And so I was like, okay, so there is the mechanics of this and this and this all tied together. Posting at this time works, you know?
That 80 million view videos, that's a view like on your knees on the floor, right? Doing the
It's a guy slapping tiles.
You're slapping tiles. Something as simple as slapping tiles got 80 million views on it, man. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a little insight, and it's in my breakdown. It was for an entertaining video, because all this stuff is goldfish theory. Okay, the goldfish brain theory. And those carnal brains are entertained by certain things. And I mentioned the sexuality being one of them. Well, that's what this one was. If you study the comments, like 90% of it is sexual innuendo, right? The slapping. And so that's why it skyrocketed, dude. And so I sat there and I watched it go through. And some of it was really sick shit. Like, I had a lot of the nasty ass comments, you know. I mean, it's really, dude, come on. Why would you ever type something so nasty on the internet? Neither here nor there. I would watch that thing go through regions of the world in the algorithm, right? So you would look at it. I'd look at it multiple times a day, and I would notice I'd have like 500 comments, and they would all be squiggly lines. And I would go in there and look at it, and it would all be the same language. It'd be like Turkish or something like that. And then you would see it shift over to another country, be Indian, and then it would be Pakistani. So you could watch it go through the world through this algorithm. So I was studying and documenting all of that data, because you can't get that kind of data out of Instagram. I've talked with Instagram on the telephone about getting this some more data, and they were like, you know, and then I had to evaluate, well, what the fuck am I asking for, dude? I'm super serious about internet privacy and data privacy and stuff. And here I am asking Instagram for more data on people, right? So I was like, ah, chill. So, but I was able to watch it and study like time frames that it would take to get through these different regions of the world and circle all the way back to the US, you know. And I was like, okay, well, there's more data, there's science right there.
Yep. It, you know, I like, you know, I don't know, are you on TikTok?
That's where I started, man.
Okay, I've only ever seen you on Instagram, but I like on TikTok, you know, like you were just saying, the levels of the reality, right? Like, you know, there's different, like when it goes viral, you know, that first day, you know, you're getting like happy comments and stuff like that, you know, when you're not quite like super viral yet. You're going viral, the happy comments come, and then they slowly get a little bit more trolly, and then like top tier level, they come out and they just hate comments. There's hateful trolls, right? And you know, so you know it's coming, man. And you know, you're like, all right, the first 2-3 days, you're like, yeah, man, loving these comments. And you just know, like, fuck, that means in like a day from now, man, you know, like they're going to be kicking the shit out of you in the comment section.
Well, let's talk real quick while we're on it. Let's talk about the difference between the TikTok algorithm and the Instagram algorithm. I'll keep it quick, but here's my takeaways, my high level takeaways for each. TikTok, you need performance within the first 30 minutes, right? If it's going to pop, it's going to be in the first 30 minutes. If it goes 30 minutes to an hour and you're still only at a couple thousand views, that's all you're going to get, brother. That's it. However, on Instagram, you may post it and it may be 2, 3, 4 days, sometimes 5, 6 a week. And then all of a sudden it blows, right? So that's the cool thing. That's what I liked about Instagram. And we can talk about my platform change and like strategy behind that. I was all in on TikTok first thing. That's where I got started. It was a decently easy science to jump onto. And also the monetization program was quicker to get to because you could get more reach quicker.
We don't get monetized.
Oh, bummer.
thanks for having us.
Damn. Well, my goal was to get monetized on there and it happened relatively quickly. You got 10,000 followers. And then I started, once I got into the creator program beta at the time, it was rather easy to collect data and alter your content to test for virality and get views and all that kind of stuff. And so I was pretty successful with that. I mean, I was able to bring in $1,000, $2,000 a month off of that. And that would go to my employees. And, but whenever TikTok, they had the TikTok shop beta come out and, you know, they kind of, in a lot of their discussions, they said that they would not, once the TikTok shop went live, it wasn't going to alter anything. Nothing was going to change. That's not really what I saw happen. Once TikTok shop went live, it tanked everybody, all the creators' views, and it shifted all the views to the TikTok shop creators. And so it was no longer feasible to waste time on TikTok. And I shifted to Instagram in November of this past year. So I've been doing Instagram now for about 6 months, 7 months.
You've got 97K in 6 months.
Yeah, I started out with 1,000 in like November, maybe 2000, and then have just been grinding on trying to understand the algorithm and through the scientific method how to grow on social media. And so that's what
good
it was all
for
about.
You, man. Good for you.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, well, shit, dude. I'm at 50, almost 51K on Instagram, and it's been a wild ride for me, man. I could only imagine, yeah. You know, you got 46,000 more followers than I do, man. Like, you know what I mean? You're almost double the size. I can only imagine, you know, like where I'll be when I'm that size and how much this ride is going to change for me yet. Right. And, you know, I started off on TikTok, but same as you, right. I started off on TikTok. Lately, I find myself having a lot more fun on Instagram. You know, TikTok has lost its allure a little bit, a lot of it. I still post over there. I still have a good time, but I noticed this week, man, I was like, I went onto my TikTok page and it said, the last time I posted a video was 6 days ago. I'm like, has it been 6 days already? Mm-hmm. Wow. There was a time where, you know, I had to post 2 or 3 a day and then went like at least 2 a day. Right. And then maybe 1 a day. And then, you know, it's been 4 years now. Right. So it was like, hey, you know, I've been grinding. It's fucking exhausting. You know, I work over 100 hours a week. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I have the podcast now. What I wasn't getting any sleep, you know, and, you know, wasn't watching movies or TV anymore. Wasn't being social in real life. Yep. Right. I was so like nose to the grind on this thing. And then, you know, it was like, well, all right, you know what? If I don't post today, it's not going to be the end of the world. Right. Oh, if I don't post for the next 2 days, it's not going to be the end of the world. I just went 6 days, man. And here we are. I posted a video last night. It didn't do the greatest, of course, but like, I don't care. It's not about that anymore. I had like 2,000 views on it and it, whatever. And over on TikTok, you know, or Instagram, sorry, it's doing fairly well. I just posted it like 2 hours ago. So, you know, it's already doing decent, but yeah. And like you said, you know, over on Instagram, it could be a week before it pops up. There's videos over there, you know, I look at them, they have, you know, 1,000, 2,000 views on them. And I okay, cool. I reply back to some of the comments. A week later, I go back and it's sitting at 1,000,000. It's like, whoa,
right.
What the hell happened there? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Well, I'll tell you what I like about Instagram more so. And it was actually another creator is the one that told me this. And I was thinking, I never thought about this being a consideration in platform. And it was that Instagram is more community based, right? And more, you know, there's more interaction, mainly because the mechanics of Instagram are set up a little better for that. Like TikTok, you get lost, right? It's hard to even keep up with comments. It's, you know, you can't do any sort of like thread comment or anything like that. So it's more driven for like really quick interactions and gone, right? So it really doesn't like propagate community, whereas Instagram does. And you can get down into comment threads and it turns to DMs and you can link everything together and you can send links and this, that, and the other. And so for me, I like that a little better. I like a little more organization. I don't like things being scattered. I don't like things being inaccessible.
Like the comment section, yeah.
Yeah, it's
terrible,
man.
You go on TikTok, you got a comment that was made an hour ago up top. Then it goes like 4 or 5 days ago. And then below them, there's like, 20 minutes ago. And then up here, it's
it makes
now.
No sense.
Instagram is like, hey, from you know, latest to earliest, you know, like,
and you can
like
filter it.
The
person
that first comments down here, the person that last comments up here, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it, right? And that I like that a little bit better.
Yeah, and another thing about, since we're talking differences in platforms, I feel like Instagram is a little better for more creative and technically creative creators, right? Because on TikTok, you know, you have to use music from within their platform. If you try and game it, you're going to get bumped. You know what I mean? They're going to demonetize you. They're going to take you out of the programs, this, that, and the other. So that means to me, TikTok is better suited for, you know, point and shoot overlay stuff, right? Talking head, you know, stuff like that. You get on there, maybe put some background music to it, do a time lapse, something like that. So more simplistic. Because every time I would try and get creative with music, with the edits and stuff, then TikTok didn't like that. They didn't like you using outside media sources, whereas Instagram just takes that song, classifies it as the creator's, tags it, and moves along. It's like, okay, cool, man.
Yep.
So you like what
TikTok
I did.
And by CapCut, right?
Right. Same thing.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I just prefer Instagram nowadays.
Yeah. The only thing I find difficult about, you know, for the kind of content I do a lot of, right? And I like to do the comedy stuff and the voiceovers. I like the voiceover lip sync shit. And, you know, the only thing I
Nothing
find
wrong
difficult
with it.
To do on – No. The only thing I find difficult about it on Instagram is that on Instagram it's hard to make the mouth match up with the sound. It's harder than TikTok. I find it harder.
You're talking about editing inside of the Instagram app? Is that what
well,
you're talking about?
No, like listening, like when I'm listening to the sound happen and I'm trying to lip sync with it, right?
Oh, I got
it. It just looks like it looks dubbed over, right? Like my mouth is moving like after the sound, right? You know, it looks like a poorly done fucking like lip sync, right? And like even though I have heard it and I've tried it back a bunch of times, there was one time where I got it, and that's because I spoke. I learned what they were saying, and then I spoke like just before they would say it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned that way, evolved with it that way, where, you know, I'd have to keep ahead of it by like a half a second or whatever, right? And then,
I
you know, it would line up. Yeah.
I've never done that kind of content. So that was, I've wondered how people do that stuff. Like, not, I've never been interested in doing that kind of content, but I've always wondered, and like, I'm thinking, are they doing that in the Instagram app? Surely they are. I don't know all the back end stuff. I don't use the Instagram app for anything, right? Except for posting. And so it's from somebody outside perspective, I'm like, God, dude, there's so much stuff you can do inside of this thing, but I'm just not interested in doing it, you know?
Yeah,
I just can't do it. It's not my style.
Learn technology, right?
You're funny with it. That's why, like, being genuinely you is good. Same with me. Like, if I got onto it, if I started doing that stuff, it would be forced, right? And yeah. Forced shit isn't funny, right? Anytime I try to be funny, it sucks. So I try not to be funny. If we script something in there, it's usually nonsensical, smart-ass sort of comedy versus anything that I'm trying to be funny on, you know, because I'm a sarcastic asshole. It's just like all of us, right? So that's the kind of humor that I appreciate.
Even Tron is like, you know, Dick Frost with his like sarcastic kind of approach on things. And it's like, I don't really viewed it as me having a sarcastic approach, but yeah, kind of, I guess. You know, I'm just trying to have a good time, and, you know, like, I like fucking ripping on the safety officers, right? I love that shit, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And yeah, when he said that, I thought about it for a little bit. I'm like, maybe it is a little bit sarcastic, you know, and fuck, I love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't mind it at all. I like it. I try not to do it too much online. I don't want that to be my persona, right? Because that's not who I am, really. I just think that's humorous, right? But I don't ever want it to be like, oh, he's a sarcastic asshole. No, I just appreciate sarcastic comedy is all it is.
Yeah.
I always just try and be as positive as you can. Especially with the haters, man, I love that. I love when somebody says something smart assy in the comments and you just hit them with something like just super slick, you know, just simple. Sometimes just ha ha is good enough, right? Like, they'll type out an entire paragraph about why they hate your guts, and then you just say, ha ha, you know? It really pisses them off.
Yeah, dude. And you know, like, I used to walk at the beginning on TikTok. I used to walk on eggshells around the haters, right? I'm like, oh, I don't know how to, you know? And then I learned the game, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to fire back, right? And then I needed to learn, you know, like, there are some you let be, and then there are some you fuck with, right? And it's a very fine line between the ones you let be and the ones you fuck with, right? And you know, I had to learn, you know, a lot of people are watching, especially I work in the oil and gas industry, right? So a lot of people, like higher-ups and operators and people that can make decisions about my future are watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I be a little bit careful, especially one of my videos went viral on LinkedIn a couple of years ago. And, you know, a bunch of these people were commenting on it. And before I started firing back, I started watching their LinkedIn profiles, seeing what they did for a living and where they worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. So this person I can get snarky with, but this person I'm going to shut my mouth, right? I played the politics game, right? And I'm like, all right, you know, I'll be, you know, all right, let's do it, man. And I love that shit. I love it.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think the only time that I, you know, that I'll truly clap back, quote unquote, if you will, is, you know, if it's somebody just being a real fucking idiot, like you could tell their intelligence level is very low. And I'm not some kind of like knowledge elitist. I don't think I'm smart. Right. But you can tell when somebody is clearly dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes I'll get into them right there, but then I'll eventually just delete the thread because I don't really like that shit lingering around anyway. I don't really allow negativity in my life like that. That's why it just doesn't work for me. So, and that goes for socials too. I'll have fun.
Go back to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here to make money. That's why I'm here to make money.
That's why I'm here, man. You know, I'm here to. Mm-hmm. I've turned it into a bit of a business, small business, right? So, like, you know what? I've turned this into. I don't know, what do you, a media thing, I guess, you know, the podcast, the content creation, you know, I guess we call it like a little media companies, I suppose, right? And what I've learned about that is, you know, there's a lot of people on the internet that are just here fucking around. They don't care. They're just here to watch the world burn, make stupid content, and some of it's good. Mm-hmm. Make content and cause drama. There's a lot of that on TikTok. You're here to cause drama, right? And you know what? Some have tried to start with me, and I just ignore it, right? Because I'm not here for that, right?
Right.
This says I've turned this into something that I want to, eventually try to maybe take a step back from actual work at some point in mm-hmm. time, maybe slow down a little bit. I'm in a hotel room all the time or a camp. Maybe, hey, I get to stay at home a little more, And so, right. And if I get involved in drama, other companies that are looking to, advertise or sponsor, they're going to look at the drama and they're going to make no thanks.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
No.
Well, and it's just like I said in the beginning of this discussion, it was, if you're going to be here with purpose. Because, and if you know your purpose, you know what you need to stay away from too. And so that means deleting the shit, just getting it out of there, Don't worry about it.
Yep.
If somebody's absolutely. Gonna talk shit, they're gonna talk shit, right?
Yep, yep. I had a buddy that told me one time, he's like, Eminem doesn't go after everybody for a reason, right? People that come at him, he ignores 99% of it, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason for it. Right. Because he doesn't want to blow them up along the way. Right. Eminem's talking about who? Let's go look at this guy. Right. And then mm-hmm. he's all of a sudden, maybe out of every 1,000, 990 of them are going to be like, fuck that guy. But 10 of mm-hmm. them are going to be like, oh, my God, I'm a fan now. Right. And that happens enough right. times. Suddenly he's someone. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, kill him with kindness, bro. Just turn around and turn the other cheek.
Yeah, yeah. Or don't even worry about it,
Yeah, 100%. Hey, so did I see that you have a podcast too, do you not?
No, not yet. I'm sure one will come along the line, but not yet.
Okay, you were talking about it then. You were talking about starting mm-hmm. one and I thought maybe you were on one or something. You were doing something.
Yeah, I've been on a couple, and then Andrew Etile, he and I probably start one down the line. We've got some other ventures we're working on as well, so we have to prioritize. I mean, we each have families and we have very busy business lives, so we have to manage that.
If you guys don't call that Bebop and Rocksteady, I'm done. I won't listen.
Yeah, like, he'll have Bebop to change his name. Tell him in the troll chat.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady, man. Now you guys have a unique opportunity there, and I want no part of it. I want no part of it if it's not called that.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I think there's a lot of advertising opportunity through that, and then other promotional tools and deals and things like that. So I think it will become a thing. I think, again, though, it just has to be strategic and with purpose. So I've tossed around the idea for a long time. I'm pretty soon going to sit down and have an impromptu sort of podcast with one of my employees. He also does a lot of video production for our page. That's Devin. You might see him a lot, dark-haired kid. And so he and I are going to do an impromptu sort of, we're just going to sit down. We're going to throw some cameras on. I'm going to edit it like it's a podcast, and then I'll just post the clips and see if it gains any sort of traction. I'll throw them on YouTube. And it may not even be anywhere remotely close to tile content. It might not even be work content. It might be us talking about our favorite comedian. Who knows? But just so that he and I can collaborate on some content too and put it out, right? So that'd be kind of cool, because – I do enjoy making content in general, and it's cool to be very niche specific on your content, but you run out of opportunity there a lot of times. You do the same thing over and over. So, I'm going to make some other content with him too.
Fuck yeah.
Speaking
of which, when you said, a lot of room for advertisement space and whatnot on a podcast, Do you know what viscosity is?
As in viscosity, are you talking about the platform for advertising?
No, viscosity, like the thickness of
the scientific viscosity. Measurement of a liquid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So where I'm going with it is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, right? The Mudman deals in, you know, viscosity on the rigs and whatnot. You know, when you're putting, you know, fluid downhole, they gotta test the viscosity of the mud, right? And you know, how thick is the load going downhole? How thick is your load? You know,
depends on what you eat.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you know, the Mudman, you know. For all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, the Mudman's got your back, you know, and fucking love that guy, man. You know, if it wasn't for him, the mic, the headset, and the soon to be laptop, which will be helping this podcast, you know, come off of being filmed on the phone and start filming it on the computer, free up the phone. That way, you know, we fixed a lot of our audio issues we were having in the beginning, right? We fixed a lot of them. You know, because I'm always in hotels and small remote towns and up in camps and shit like that, a lot of it now is service issues, right? Like, oh, you know, if it freezes here and there, we could cut out. But it's not an audio issue anymore, right? And okay. So we're going to move off the phone. That way, you know, I get a lot of phone calls and it'll, that's why I put it on Do Not Disturb. We get a lot of phone calls and it kicks me out sometimes and I got to like come back in. And the laptop I am currently using for editing right now is dog shit. Like, it takes forever to load up, forever to boot, click it in there. It takes forever to get into the program and do the editing. And by the time it all opens up, I put it aside and don't even want to do it. It's like, no, forget that. And then it's like, hey, the podcast will go up how it came out, right? It's blue collar podcast. We're very rough around the edges. The podcast is too. Fuck it, right? But now we're getting a new laptop. The Mudman, as you know, he's buying us a laptop, you know, saying, hey, thanks for everything you do. Shout us out on the show all the time, you know, and buying us a laptop. It's going to be much quicker, much faster. You know, I'm not going to fall asleep before the thing loads anymore. You know, we're going to edit. It's going to make the podcast more crisp, more smooth. And hey, man, the only one way to go from here. We're going up, right? We're going to the penthouse.
That was a beautiful mid-roll, Dick.
Hey, what can I say, right?
It was beautiful. You did great.
Thanks, man. So, yeah, check out the Mud, man. www.mudmarket.com. Yeah, man. And we're working on a couple more. We're working on a couple more sponsors that are coming on the podcast. So, you know.
Sweet, dude.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun, dude. This thing, you know, it's my baby. You know, I wanted something that I could pick up and carry when the social media, because the social media game is like TikTok's not gonna last forever. You know, who knows how long the Reels thing on Instagram will last? You know, all the good things must come to an end eventually, right? So when all that stuff kind of like goes the way of the dinosaur, if it ever does, you know, this is, you know, my way of still being around, still carrying on what I like to do. And so, you know, we're by this time, I think when this episode comes out, we're probably going to be in the early to mid 80s. Right. And that'd be 80 some odd straight weeks of not missing a week. So, you know, it's been a lot of work getting to this point, man. And we still got a lot more work to go.
Yeah, it sounds like it, especially working 100 hours a week on your regular job.
It's exhausting sometimes, and that's, you know, you put the content away for a little bit. It helps, you know, recording 4 or 5, sometimes 6 weeks ahead of the podcast. You know, like I said, I record whenever I get the chance. I stay ahead of it because I never know. I'm on call 24/7 in the winter when I'm in the patch and on the road crew. I do road construction in the summer. And, yeah, you know, I never know when, you know, I'm going to get called out to do something. And, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, it's been a couple weeks and I don't have a podcast to go out all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I keep it ahead of
it's
it.
A, you know? And it's, that's a little more serious about keeping on schedule than a short form content. So I get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, buddy. Where do you see your content going in the next, what's your 5-year outlook or plan? Are you just going day by day with it, or like you got a plan?
I intend to be retired within 5 years, I would say. That's where I would like. But, well, six-year plan. 45 is when I'd like to retire. So there's a lot of things that have to happen in between now and then to get there. That's why I work 24/7.
That's beautiful.
But as far as content goes, it will be capped. It'll land somewhere. There will be a plateau in my growth, mainly because the content is so specific. I could turn my content and kind of pivot and go heavily towards the DIY scene, which would then, you know, allow for more increase in total viewership. However, in some aspects, it reduces your credibility, not technically per se, but it kind of gets you out of the professional world of influencing and more into a DIY criteria, which is not something that I'm very interested in. I'm more of a B2B sort of guy. So I like to, as a business, serve a business. So I'm more into the professional thing. It's kind of like going from teaching college to teaching preschool, you know, as far as from a skill set perspective. So
yeah,
I don't know that I would want to do that. I doubt my content will pivot there. I do try and explain things in a way that your average person could understand. Like if you're a capable human who has two hands and some tools and you have some gumption, I can talk you through just about anything, but I'm not going to try and teach somebody who's not, you know, technically savvy in some respect. But I'm more interested in moving towards marketing content. You know, I'm a recent co-founder of a new company called Real Smith, and we're a influencer marketing and management company. So that's a huge move right now. And so that's going very well. I mean, it's taken off like a rocket ship, and we've got some strong players on the team. So I won't go too much in detail about that on here yet, because we're still getting off the ground. We're building brand relations. We're meeting with them. I'll be glad to talk about it all once we really get it moving. But right now it's in a startup period, and it is doing very well. I think the team that is involved and tied into all of it is a absolute killer team. Very capable, very experienced. A lot of businessmen involved on it. So it's going to go very well. It's going to serve the blue collar community versus take from the blue collar community. And I think that's the beautiful part about it is just like I talked about my theories of life, where you provide value with no expectation of return. I'm taking that into this company as well and bridging a gap between the brands and the creators, because listen, the creators in the blue collar community could use a little help. That's just the way I see it, right? Everybody, and I said it in a video I've already made, look, we're the busiest creators on the internet, dude. I mean, you work 100 hours a week to provide for your family. Oh yeah. And you're a serious content creator, right? So when do you have time to chase emails down, working with a brand, trying to make sure you're getting paid what you're worth, right? Oh. Like, the other piece of it too is, Dick, tell me what you're worth. Do you know? Most people don't. Okay.
I don't know what I'm worth. I don't like talking. Are we talking money wise?
Money. Yeah. I mean, by worth
conversation, right?
Right. It's awkward. Most people don't. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why this is what this is, right? Like, you take somebody who can build a team and can put people who are already agents, right? Like the people on our team are doing NIL deals for collegiate and professional athletes. That's what we brought in, right? So they're already doing these deals. So now we're moving them in and they're pivoting. And now they're working with blue collar influencers. Okay. So now we're taking these big brands who, and I'm not saying that they've been taking advantage of anybody or anything like that. Not what I'm saying at all. Their marketing teams don't have a clear understanding of how to use the system and how to use the influencer marketing strategy. And our blue collar brethren and sisters who are making this content don't understand the value that there is in it for them. Okay. And we're making that connection, you know, so we're able to take these brands, explain to them exactly the strategy they need to do. We'll partner with the brand sometimes. Sometimes we'll just delegate tasks to other influencers and make those deal connections. But there's other times where we're working with these brands and developing their marketing strategies for them. And then we're, because we have an exclusive roster of creators, we can then leverage that, the numbers, you can think of it as a union. We leverage the number of creators we have that are exclusive to us. And we say, hey, listen, brand, this is the value. So if you want to work with these guys, this is what it costs. And that means we can get the highest price for those creators, and the brands are willing to pay it, because these brands, you know, they're shelling out hundreds of thousands of dollars in TV and print advertising. Yeah. They can shell out money to creators too. And more than $300, mind you, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you get brands that'll reach out all the time, and like the standard number, there's a standard number they throw out, and it's rather low. And you go, man, God, it's gotta be worth more than that, you know? And it is. Yeah. And so that's why it pays to have a team behind you that takes care of that for you. All you got to do is answer the telephone, right? All you do is answer the telephone for your agent. If somebody contacts you, you say, hey, call my agent. It's done, right? We don't charge anything to you. We make money on commission. Like, the deals that we make, that's where we make our percentage. You're not paying anything, but you're getting more than you would if you were negotiating it on your own, you know?
Hell yeah.
So
hell yeah.
That's the beautiful part about it. And we're having a blast doing it. And I'm hoping that we can serve the community very well. Yeah.
So what's the prerequisite to become a content creator within that's represented by RealSmith?
As far as follower count, so 10,000 is the minimum follower count, right? So you got to have 10K. And then beyond that, Dick, we hand select. So if you would like to become a creator in our roster, you would, you know, hit us up. We'd have a discussion. We would vet you. We have multiple people on the team that are experienced content we're looking for. We know what's marketable. We know how to judge it from on a personality standpoint, whether you're, you know, presentable, that sort of thing. And, you know, from that point, we build our roster like we want. Like, we're picking a fantasy football team here, right? Like, we're building a team that is valuable. Okay. We're building our own team. So that's the other really cool part about it, because when a brand comes to us, they'll know that we've hand selected all these people. It's not like, you know, most of these creative agencies, they're all freelance, and you have to apply. There's a supply and demand issue. You know, there's heavy demand and low supply. So they take anybody. And so a brand, when they go and throw money at a marketing problem, they don't know whether or not they're going to get a good product. It's just like throwing it out there. Yeah, we need some influencers, right? And they go, oh, cool, he's an influencer. You don't know whether you're going to get a good product or not. But if you work with us, you're going to get hand-curated content. So if you're signed with us, if there's a specific campaign, we will work with you. Your agent's going to work with you personally on what kind of content to create, how to create it, what's the vibe, what are the details, this, and this. That way we can get maximum monetary value on these deals, because we offer top tier quality.
Well, did you see the ad I made for that restaurant for Father's Day?
Yeah, I did.
Man, that was so much fun, and I was pumped when they reached out. I did something for someone else a couple of years ago, and what I found out with me is I don't like deadlines, right? So, like, I like, oh, shit, right? So she gave me a deadline, and, like, I sat there, and she's like, okay, you ready tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, hey, you ready today? And I'm like, yeah. So then I knew I had to do it, right? I put it together in 10 minutes, right? I was like, you know what? Like, all right, I got 10 minutes. I put it together, and it turned out she loved it, right? And I'm like, yeah, I just needed to do it on my own time, right? Like, I was given a deadline, and it's like, hey, let me – I'm like 100 hours a week, content, podcast, father, husband.
Yep.
You know, I just needed a minute to be mentally ready, right? And so when I was faced with it, I was like, okay, put it out. And then after I put that one out, another restaurant came to me and asked, right? And I think by the time this podcast comes out, it'll already have happened. It's with Carl's Jr., right? And
that's cool.
What I found was really cool was that, you know, they asked me what my price was, where the other one didn't ask. They just said, hey, we'll give you this, right? Take it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it because it's fun, right? I love that shit. But Carl's Jr. is like, what are you worth, right?
Yep.
And I didn't know how to answer that. I didn't know how to answer that. Right. And I asked around. I even asked in the group there on the troll group there. And I went based off of, you know, I went on a little bit in the middle between the answers I was given between this and that. And I went in the middle and I gave it to them. And they're like, cool, we'll email you. Right. We'll get we're going to reach out to you in an email. I'm like, OK, I probably could have went a little higher. Right. And maybe they'll meet me. Maybe they'll be like, well, that's a little low. So they'll, you know, they'll up it themselves. I don't know, man. But, like, all I know is, you know, the first one was free, kind of, right? The first one was, you know, just to get my foot in the door, you know?
Of course.
And I think we only go from here. You know, we learn our value. We learn, you know, what we can do, what we're capable of. And then, you know, all right, well, hey, this is the price going forward, right? And I don't know if you know who Bentelect is on TikTok and all that. He reads all those tweets. He's like, facts, right? He's just like, facts. He's a funny guy.
Yeah,
you've probably seen him. He's got like fucking 30 million followers across the internet. And he was on the podcast last year and he told me, you know, he works with McDonald's, dude. He wouldn't give a number out what he was worth to McDonald's, but it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And yeah, dude. There's big deals out there. Big deals out there that can be had.
Yeah, man. And we're just the little guy, right? You know, they're coming to us being like what you said. You know, they could spend a couple hundred grand on marketing, or they could come to regular everyday Joes and you know, who people would rather take advice from, you know, because we're relatable. We're not some fucking multimillionaire sitting in a Learjet and driving around a Bentley. We're one of them, right? So they'd rather come to us and be like, well, yeah. And then they, instead of paying out hundreds of thousands, maybe they're just paying, oh, here's 10 grand, right? Well, right. 10 grand's worth my time, you know, for a 30-second long video. I'll take 10 grand any day. You know, sign me up, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's fucking, the internet's a wild place, and it's the little guy's time to shine, you know?
Yep. And so for me, I mean, that's just strategy, right? It's all business strategy. You know, the internet is a place, it's kind of like the American dream kind of rebuilt. Okay. So you can start with absolutely nothing and you could build yourself an empire. And so that's exactly what we're trying to do here because we can, and we will, you know, I mean, and if you have a consistent strategy and you have this crazy relentless work ethic to where you just won't stop, right? That's where it's almost unstoppable. You get a crew of people together that are doing that together. It's over.
Yep, you get a couple hungry dogs, you know, a couple hungry dogs together, and yeah, like you said, it's over, man. That's, oh man, I'm excited to see where you go with this, right? But when I made that video, sorry, that's where I was going. When I made the original Joe's video originally, the restaurant there, someone asked me, "Did you use RealSmith?" Right? And I don't remember who. I don't remember. It was someone within the group, right? Like, "Did you use RealSmith?" And I was like, what the fuck is that? And then they told me, and I went down your profile, and I saw, and then I'm glad you brought it up, dude, because, like, honestly, I it totally blanked, right? And I'm glad you brought that up, man. Like, I'm excited to see where you take this, man.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I haven't been trying to promote it per se. We have been trying to grow the page a little, but we're, you know, we don't want to do a full on press dump yet. I mean, we're going to. Like, it's going to come, but it's a step-by-step process. You got to walk into the pool from the shallow end, you know, so.
Boom. As long as you don't become 7M.
What is that?
You don't know who's 7M. Man, have you watched Dancing with the Devil or Dancing for the Devil on Instagram or not in Netflix yet?
No, man.
It's all those, like, all the, like, top dancing influencers on TikTok. They all
I bet that's insufferable.
Oh, brutal. They all signed in this little media group with a pastor. I can't remember the name, but it's a pastor. And it's out of LA.
I can't go good.
No. And he takes almost all their money. But he says, you have to die to your family, right? So they can get into heaven. Right? So there's this one girl who's, oh, man, her family is the main focus in this documentary, and since that documentary came out, her, their daughter reached out because the pastor is panicking now. He's like, no, no, no. Invite them back in. There's video of it and everything. Invite them back in your life. Make sure everything's good. Let them know you love them. But keep them at an arm's length. Like, they didn't talk to their daughter for like a year, man. And like the, yeah, her name's Miranda, I think it is. And like the her and her sister were like two of the biggest TikTok influencer dancers ever or some shit.
So some pastor started a cult then and just used that. I mean,
but he started it years ago with other like people looking like as a talent agency, right?
The
documentary, those old people, like the older people from the past came out in the documentary. He's like, he did this to me and my sister. My sister and I haven't talked since, but we're no longer part of this cult. Right. Mm-hmm. It was just, I think they're both just embarrassed or ashamed or something. It's wild. Dancing for the Devil is what it's called on Netflix, man.
I'll have to see if the wife wants to sit down and watch that. That, good God, that might make me sick to watch. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's kind of like that movie, fucking The Social Dilemma. You ever see The Social Dilemma?
Oh, that was a really good one. That was a beautiful one. Yeah.
That one's scary when you stop and like really think about like how true it is, man. Like, mm-hmm. how many people are influenced by like shit they see online, you know, like politically, you know, like, I'm going to vote for this because this group of people here, you can find an argument for anything on the internet, right? Like you could find anything that makes it the flat earth shit, dude.
There's freaks out there.
Shit, but like some of them make some pretty compelling arguments. They really get you thinking like, holy shit, is the earth flat? Right? Like,
yeah, you know? I know. Really? So crazy, man. There's some freaks out there. And again, man, remember, it's a bunch of salmon swimming upstream with no purpose, dude. That's all it is. Everybody doing this, dude, it's no purpose. Like there's something missing, right? There's something missing mentally if you are just scrolling. Okay. And you know, you can look at like top evaluations of like cult leaders. We were just talking about cults. Take a cult leader. How do they get people in their cult, man? Well, the people that they get, they don't have a purpose, and this group gives them purpose, just like gang members, just like all that kind of stuff. If you have no purpose, you will find purpose in something. May not be the best thing. And yeah. And if you're just swimming up that stream as a little product salmon, right? There's going to be people just selling to you and selling and selling and selling. And before you know it, your purpose is to buy things. And you're just filling up that hole inside of you with buying things. And, you know, all the advertisers are going, you know, and all the big companies are making record profits just because you're just sitting there just going, oh, that's what I need. That's what I need. Oh, yeah, that's what I need. That's, you know what? I'm really unhappy. And I think this is actually going to make me happy. You know what I mean?
Like, I can't believe how fast my hard hat stickers go. Like, I can't stock them. Every time I get them, they go fast, right? I sell them, right, on my website. Yeah. And then, you know, I last year, around summertime, and I got to put it out again this year, I have wife beaters, you know, and then I slap logo on it, and I call it a dick beater. Get your dick beater. Get your dick beaters. Dick beater here. Get your dick beater.
I gotcha. That's a good one.
Yeah, man. And like, you know, the Only Frost, the OnlyFans logo, it says Frost instead. Oh, and fucking, I paid a guy to make that for me. I can't. Oh, Jesus. And then Plenty of Frost, you know, Plenty of Fish, Plenty of Frost, you know, just fucking playing with shit, you know, like, you know, it's crazy where a marketing mind can go, you know, like, how could I market this Dick Frost thing? Right. There's so many plays and so much shit to market on that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your actual name? Is it Richard?
It's Richard. Yeah.
I figured, I didn't know.
Hey, you know how you get dick from Richard? You ask nicely. Oh, fuck. I don't want to take up too much more of your time there, buddy. What are you, like 2 hours ahead of me?
I'm Central Standard.
Oh,
Chicago time.
9 o'clock then, isn't it? 9/11. Oh, yep. Shit. Oh, shit. So I don't want to take too much more of your time there, buddy. So I like to wrap the podcast up with one last question. And, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people in the world up on that rock, right? Or even just North America, if you want to say America, whatever. Four of the most influential people up on the rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore with four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you, who would be up there and why?
You're an asshole for asking that question, boy. Well, you asked, so you're going to have to wait for the answer.
It's all good, man. I got nothing but time.
Let's see.
It's meant to make
We're talking all time, right?
All time, dead, alive, fiction, nonfiction,
fucking life in general, nothing life. Specific.
No, you could say Rita Repulsa if you want to. I don't give a shit. You know. You know who Rita Repulsa is, right?
I do not.
You didn't watch Power Rangers, bro?
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I don't know names. I know the Yellow Ranger, the Green Ranger. I know that.
Tommy. And Katrina, I think, right?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. let me think, man. So I'll tell you this. One person that it would be the first person on my Mount Rushmore, and it would be my grandmother on my father's side. All right. And let me tell you why. That woman was my all-time favorite woman in my entire life, okay? She was the most selfless person that I ever knew in my life, right? And most people's lives revolve around themselves, and most things that they do are of selfish nature, so... She was quite a person to have around. So when I was a child, she took me. I did a lot of charity work. She was involved in all the civic clubs. She was a head nursing instructor at her hospital. She was all these things, right? But most importantly, she was an adventurer and would pick up and go anywhere, and she would take me with her to have those experiences, right? So she was a woman that wasn't afraid of anything. She was a Depression era woman who had her struggles and made it, right? So that would be number one on my list. And that is for understanding empathy and being able to think outside of yourself, right? The next person I would say would be,
I love watching the gears go. I love it.
The second person would be my father. Okay. People look at me as who I am today and they think, wow, your father must have been, big into business and all this kind of stuff. Like, because that's what you're centered around. Not at all. My father was military, for the majority of my life. Very, very well established, did extremely well for himself in the military, retired after 30 years. And what he taught me was that sacrifice is everything, right? So who you're willing to sacrifice for is everything. And so, my father wasn't around a ton. Like, he was around, don't get me wrong. I don't want to say he wasn't around, but military guy, you're gone a lot, right? You miss out on a lot of things. You sacrifice that. And so the beautiful part about it, and I've thought about this for many years, is think about why someone is your hero. you could say. Okay, so when I was growing up in my entire life, my father has been my hero. It's who I look up to. Part of that is because from an old school poetic theory, someone can't be your hero and there not be absence, right? So think about why in old romance, old sailors would take off and they'd be gone at sea for years and they would return and their lass was still there. And it was a long drawn out love, romance, affair. You know, the reason that was there was because of separation, right? Because of absence. You can't truly understand what that yearning to have somebody in your life is like, and you can't develop those heroic feelings without absence. If someone is always in your face, always there, boom, 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 you're going to figure out every flaw about that person. And, you know, eventually it will become more important than what you love so much about that person, right? So that heroic effect is gone. So that was a big part for my father. And what I got to see growing up was my dad was gone to work before I got out of the bed, and he got home from work at 6 p.m., whatever, when it was time to wind down and chill. And when my dad would get home, it was either he was going to the office to do bill work, he was going outside to work in the yard, he was going to rebuild a motor, he was going to do this. And we didn't have enough money to pay anybody to do anything, so he had to figure everything out, right? If it was broke, he fixed it. And so what I got from him, and it makes me a core of who I am today, is from that guy. Because, listen, I'm the same exact way, to the point where even though if I can't afford to pay somebody to do it, I want to do it on my own anyway, because that's just how I'm wired. And so I got this crazy work ethic from him. I got this absolutely absurd obsession with statistics and data from him, because he's big into trial and test and this and this. He's a military guy, you know, so it's, yeah. So that would be my second chisel on Mount Rushmore, right? They're there, Dick. They're there.
Hey, man. I got time. You got time. I love that. I love where this question goes sometimes, man. I love the answers people come up with. You show me who you admire, who you strive to be, who's been part of that passion to do what you do, right? And it helps people understand a lot about you.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a good one, man.
No, it is good. It's very good. It's developing. It's loading. You know, the other interesting part of this, that question is, it makes you think, who do you put on a pedestal?
And why are they on that pedestal?
I think the third person that I would put on my Mount Rushmore would be my wife. And I'll tell you why. My wife and I met when we were 15. We started dating when we were 15. And we're now 38. She's 39. Well, we're in the same year, right? We're in the same year, but I get to say she's older than me because she's a few months older. And I know how crazy of a transformation I have seen in myself, right? The person that I have become today, just, I mean, it's wild, right? As everybody's story is. I mean, you know, I'm not important. It's just, I see my story. Everybody sees their own story.
Yeah.
But not once have I ever questioned whether or not she supported me, right? So she has always, one of the reasons that she and I are still together to this day, I mean, we've been together longer than we haven't been together, is because of a relentless support and faith in me that I can make things work, right? As the man, I can make things work and provide and all that fun stuff. So she is definitely on that Mount Rushmore. There's no doubt about it. Best cook I know. I've watched her develop as a cook. You know, I've watched her develop as a mother. I've watched her develop as a wife and a support system and this, that, and the other. There's no doubt that she is there. On the fourth installment of my Mount Rushmore.
My wife and I have been together since we were 16, 17. And we've been, so about 20 years, we've been married for 11 now, right? And same, she's on my Mount Rushmore as well for almost the exact same reason, you know? We've changed so much as people from then. We've been together for more time than what's behind us than we haven't been together, mm-hmm. right? My wife has watched me grow up, right? Like what at a time when I needed to grow up, right? And and despite how much growing up I needed to do, she stayed right there. I've asked her,
that's right,
why did you stay?
Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, because I've been an absolute bastard, you know.
Yeah. Why would you say?
No doubt.
I saw something in you that one day I'd hope you'd see for yourself. One day I'd hope you'd look in the mirror and you'd see the person that I see. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, and my
profound shit
to me. Yeah, man. And you know, my wife's been there through every iteration of me. You know, like, she has loved every single version of me as much as she could.
Yep.
You know? And you know, when I watched her become a mom for the first time, man, just watching her become a mom, dude, was like,
it's fuck, crazy. That's
beautiful. You know, give me another one just like you. Like, right. Like, we had one, turns out the first one wasn't it. The second one is her fucking twin. Everything from mannerisms to the facial features, the body features, everything, man. And it's like, damn, like, you know, like, just fucking everything about her, man. You know, it's just in like, she amazed me. She's the strongest person I know. She's one of the funniest people I know. She's an amazing cook, just like yours. You know, amazing cook, hard worker, loves fearlessly, you know, passionate, you know, and it's just, man, my friends call her all in one, dude. Like, how the fuck do I look back? I look back on my life. Like, how and people like, how's things going, man? Better than I fucking deserve. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And you know what I can do is I can make, whether you like it or not, I'll add two more to my Mount Rushmore to close it out. And that's my kids. So my two daughters, I have a 17-year-old and I have a 13-year-old. I have all girls. And, you know, I'm in a house full of women, wife, two daughters, two female dogs, had three female dogs, but my old girl went down. So they truly I talk a lot about purpose and I talk a lot about intention and things of that nature. I am a loose cannon without purpose, right? I'm an absolute animal. I know that at a carnal level, I am an awful person. And what I've been blessed with, this family who's stuck with me throughout the years, right? Just as much as we've all done this together, they've stuck with me and they've made me who I am. And they've given me that purpose. Like I wouldn't be this super hyper focused guy that's only interested in business and providing and all that kind of stuff if I didn't have them. Like I wouldn't be the man I am without those women in my life. So it's an extremely powerful, extremely powerful thing having that tight of a family. And you can do, you know, one or two families together can take over the world. So that shows the power of it.
That's amazing that you say that. And, you know, like in a not so bad way, I'm kind of jealous of it. Right. Cause like, you know, growing up, I didn't have that kind of family. Right. My dad and I, we don't talk. My mom and I, we barely talk. I talk to one of my three sisters and my brother who's older. We're like Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday kind of people. Right. Now, my wife and I were trying to break that cycle. Her family, same way, right? But her and I were trying to break that cycle. We want to be the parents that our kids are more than happy to call home and more than happy to come home and visit, right? My dad, not a good person. He's on my rock as a person that I don't want to be. I look up and I see that him on my rock, and I know I got to go another way, right? He's a beacon of don't be that guy. Right. And that's why he's up there. But same time, man, it's like, it's funny that you said, I'd like to add another person or another two people to the rock, because I don't know if you've ever read up on Mount Rushmore or not, or know anything about Mount Rushmore, but the guy who originally made Mount Rushmore went off to fight in, I think, World War One or World War Two. It was one of the two world wars. And his goal when he got back was to add to that rock for years to come. And his son, His vision was to do that as well. And I believe that man died in one of the world wars. And his son was like, no man that has come after the four people up there deserves a spot on the rock. Right. So the rock goes unfinished today. Right. So there was room for way more. Right.
Right.
But who do we put on a pedestal? And the reason why that rock is so amazing is this is because it only has four people on it.
Yep, it's wild, man.
Absolutely.
It's wild.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, my entire Rushmore is my family. That's it. I've had so many influences in my life that I think are the, you know, when I think in general, I think, wow, that was the greatest inspiration, or that's why I am what I am, blah, blah, blah. But when you get right down to it, it's your family that's that tight with you, that is you, right? It is you. And then all these other people who come and go in and out of your life, they have an impact, but not at a foundational level.
Yeah. No. You need that. You need that solid foundation to be anything in this world, right? You need a good support system. Right. And that support system comes from right under your own roof. That's the only support system you should really need. Right. And
correct.
You know, Daniel Harper, who was on the podcast not long ago, said God, family, country. Right. Like in that order.
Right.
Yeah, man. And that was powerful stuff. And yeah, man, I love this podcast, dude, because like I get to connect with like my people from all over the world. Right. Right? And you learn so much about those people, what their engines, right? You get to learn what makes them go. And you just, the amount of knowledge that I've been able to pick up about other people who otherwise you pass on the street and wouldn't know at all, who if you talk to them, they're not interesting at all. Right.
Right.
And everyone thinks they're boring. Right. And man, everyone's got a cool story to tell.
They do. They really do, man.
They do, man. Absolutely.
I like what you're doing, man, here.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that, man. And, you know, like, this is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but the best things are usually take a lot of work, right? The best things, like family, it all comes back to family. Family takes a lot of work, right? And It's the best thing. This podcast takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of fun, and it makes me happy here and in here. And I believe, you know, like I needed that in my life at one point in time.
Right.
Whether my wife and my kids might take that the wrong way, I wasn't unhappy with my family. I was unhappy with myself, right? Like, because of, it came back to the sacrifice a little bit. Like, you know, I work away. I work in the oil field. I'm gone for weeks at a time. At the start of the pandemic, it was 6 months straight at a time. Home for maybe, you know, less than a week, and then gone again. It was like fucking 20 days I spent at home in 2 years, right? And, you know, that fucks with a guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're away from everything you love, right? And, you know, we were in different time zones too. So, you know, by the time I get off work, my kids are asleep. My wife is tired. You know, she, you know, and she'd just given birth not long before that. So she's also going to bed. We barely talked in those 2 years too, right? And that was hard. That was really hard, you know, and that fucked with me a lot. And I needed something to, you know, fill that void, right? My wife could see it. We talk about it a lot now, and you know, like those were some tough times, but it's made us, you know, even more resilient and stronger today, you know. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing too, you know. I mean, this is June, this is, you know, Men's Mental Health Month, and so it's worth saying that, you know, I've had a lot of dark periods in my life mentally, and the people around you are affected by it, and you know it's happening, but you don't sometimes know how to understand it, much less fix it, right? You don't even understand why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. And if you can't understand it, you can't process it. And that means you can't come up with a resolution. And so while you may not understand what exactly is going on, you also may not understand how it's affecting the people around you. So, you know, it's very important to constantly introspect on yourself and set goals and, you know, overcome challenges and things like that. That way you can keep your brain moving, right? If your brain starts to stall out on your own emotions, that's when you start to fault out. And, you know, that's when you start to think weird and you start to do all these, you just act outside of yourself. So it's real important to introspect and really test yourself and really question to yourself, you know, how am I feeling? How am I doing? You know what I mean? Not in a weak standpoint, but hey man, check yourself, you know, how you feeling? You know, are you, you know, for me, it was like, how you feeling? Not real good. Well, what doesn't feel good? Is it physical? Is it mental? Maybe both. Who knows, right? Like, if you feel down mentally, you're going to feel down physically. And then you just start to kind of snowball from there. And that's where a lot of guys will turn. They'll turn to boozing. They'll turn to pills. They'll turn to whatever, like to kind of numb that feeling out. Because as men, we're trained. I mean, we're programmed. You don't talk about that shit, right? You just don't do it. And so you have to, if you're going to choose to be that way and not talk about your feelings to other people, you'd better keep yourself in check, right? You'd better have the conversation with yourself. You better not just ignore it, because it can lead to dark places. It can lead to dark things, and it can lead to outcomes that you certainly didn't intend to occur. And then, you know, it may get to a point where you go beyond fixing, and that's where we lose a lot of our brothers, you know, the self-infliction. So, you know, if keep yourself in check, understand how you're doing, you know, just in general, keep a finger on your pulse, man. Like, don't lose who you are in what you're doing. So you just got to keep in check.
I came up you know, raised by a boomer who was, you know, very much like, don't talk about your feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him fall apart mentally because of it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up, you know, I was like, hey, man, you know, like, mental health, what's that, you know? Because of mm-hmm. what I was told and my role model. And it was like, oh, fuck, mental health, that's a joke. What are you talking about, right? Not knowing that because mm-hmm. of everything that I was going through, that one day this was coming back, right?
Sure.
It's like in the oil and gas industry, we deal with benzenes, right? And H2S. H2S is going to get you now. Benzenes are coming back in 20 years. Well, mental health is the benzenes. Mm. Benzenes are coming back in 20 years. There's the things that are immediately danger to life and health. And then there mm-hmm. are things that are coming back, and that's one of them. And, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I hit 30, right? I hit 30, and it was like, boom. One day it was just a knock at the door. Guess who, baby?
Mm.
You know, I'm here, right? And
yep.
I thought it was a joke. And then, you know, but what that time taught me was that, you know, people can see it. Like you said, my wife could see it. My wife knew, right?
Sure.
And I didn't want to talk about it. And I didn't think I could talk about it. And then, you know, what it taught me for the future is that, man, like, mental health is not going away. It's not something that just gets better. It's not going away. This will come back and affect me again, but I will be ready for that battle when it gets here, right? When it does hit me, I've got a good surrounding cast. I got people that from all over the world now that are, we're all on board with it. We're talking about it, right?
Yep.
And when it does come back to get me, man, I'm there. I'm there, and everyone else is there and ready to listen. And that's one thing I had to learn, you know, like, it's okay not to be okay. And you hear that a lot now, and it's true.
Yeah, well, and the other part of it too is it's a natural thing, right? And the old adage of not talking about your feelings, I can partially agree, right? It's a balance, because you're the man, okay? You're the man. You are the foundation of your family, and they rely on you, and, you know, you should not show weakness, right? Because you have to be the one person that is consistent, strong, never failure to your family, right? But then at the same time, you have to take care of yourself too, because,
yep,
you know, if you get to where you're lying to yourself, that's where the problem comes in. You know what I mean?
See, I agree and I disagree a little bit, right? I think it's, you know, your kids are watching you all the time, right? They're watching, mm-hmm. they're sponges, right? Do we always want to be a shining example of not failing, and then when they grow up, they don't know how to handle that? Or do we, you know, show them, hey, you know, I failed at this, and mm-hmm. life didn't end. You know what I mean? Like, we failed at it, but why did Bruce Wayne fall? Bruce Wayne fell so he could rise up and become fucking Batman, right?
And, sure.
Right? And you know, show your kids that, hey, man, we fall. But what do? We fall, we take our bumps and we bruises, and we get up and we wipe ourselves off and we keep going, right? And I think the kids need to see that too. I think the kids these days are missing that, right? They're definitely missing that.
Well, yeah, yes and no. The difference in my mind would be, does 6-year-old son understand that dad's having a mental break when he's beating his ass? And then dad apologizes for it when the kid is 25, or does the kid, or does the man bottle his feelings up, get rid of all that, and then stay focused and never beat the kid's ass? Right. Like, it's like, that's why I'm saying it's a delicate balance, because you have to be strong. You have to maintain yourself as well, because you can't be strong if you're not balanced on the inside. So that's why you have to consistently introspect, right? Whether it's good or bad, you have to introspect whether am I doing well? Like, yep, I'm proud of what I'm doing. I'm on the right course. I'm doing this. Or also, okay, yeah, I fucked that up. Like, shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Okay, well, this is what it is. Find these triggers, take this out of my life, you know, get this out. That way I don't do that anymore. It's really all a balancing act, right?
Fuck yeah. No, hey, man, fucking great points. I think we both made a great point there, right? That's fucking top-notch shit right there, man. Fuck yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I agree with both sides of that for sure, right? And that's like you said, that's that balancing act, right? You gotta know when you've gone too far and when you haven't gone far enough. And you know, it's
right.
Parenting, man.
Like it's all about staying tough. It's all about staying dialed in here, man. Like I said, we're talking about men's mental health. Stay dialed in. Like, keep in tune. You know what I mean? Keep the if there's something in your life that's not good and you know it, don't let it be there, because it will fester and it'll build, and you know, it'll cause you to be the man that you don't want to be.
Oof. Damn, man, you should have been around to talk to my dad. Damn.
I don't know, man.
Hey, you want? I'll give you his phone number, bro. I still have it memorized.
Damn.
Oh shit, man. This has been a lot of fun, Dan. Thanks for coming on. You know, I
yeah, dude,
appreciate
absolutely
you coming on this journey with me. You know, and then this is well, I have to have you back on again sometime, dude. You know,
I'll be here.
I have only had one reoccurring guest so far in 80 episodes, close to 80 episodes. So you know. It's it's been a lot of unique and interesting people. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. I'm proud for you. Keep on grinding, dude. You're doing a good job.
Thanks, brother. Hey, stay frosty.
Get after it.
Yes, sir. Five, nine.